Mormonism 101 for Teens is a valuable resource for anyone wanting a simplified view of the Mormon religion from a Christian perspective. Mormonism 101 for Teens is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Mike Menning. Mike is with Great Commission Utah, and this week we have been talking about his involvement ministering among those that are involved in polygamous communities. Mike, when he came to Utah, didn't even realize these people still existed, but yes, they do, and polygamy is very much alive, not only in the state of Utah, but even surrounding areas. We've been talking about the FLDS, or the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which is in the twin towns of Hilldale, Utah, and Colorado City, Arizona, and we haven't mentioned them yet, but we should probably give them a brief mention at least. There's also another group known as the Centennial Park Group. Now, they are in Arizona, and theologically, as far as polygamy is concerned, they certainly would agree with the FLDS group, although they do not consider them a part of the FLDS group. Mm-hmm. They have their own type of leadership and so forth and so on.
Correct, and it's kind of a complicated deal because Centennial Park broke off of the FLDS about 30, 40 years ago, and they just went down the road about 3 miles, and they established their own towns. They're very different from the FLDS. In the FLDS community of Colorado City, Hilldale is not among the neatest communities in the United States. In fact, they're really quite junky communities, the way you look at it. However, the Centennial Park people are just the opposite when it comes to riding through their community. Their houses are well-kept, many large houses, also in Colorado City. But there's a difference in them. Another difference is that the Centennial Park people operate about 90% of all the businesses, the retail businesses, in Colorado City, Hilldale. They're very business-savvy people for retail. Another very interesting thing, in the last election in Colorado City, there were a number of people who are, I think there's two or three that live in Centennial Park, but they ran for public office in Colorado City. And the way they do that is they have wives in Centennial Park, and they also have wives in Colorado City. And so when it's convenient, they claim they're citizens of Colorado City.
Wow, that's amazing. Let's talk specifically about your work among the FLDS.
Yes.
Again, this is the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are not associated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, headquartered in Salt Lake City. And we were talking about that animosity that a lot of Mormons have towards those that are involved in what they call fundamentalism. That's the word that's been attributed to them. They're known as Crickers.
Yes.
How did they get that name?
Well, originally they established that community back at the turn of the century of, 1900. That's when the first ones came there. And the community which they began to develop was called the Short Creek community, and they were known as Short Creek for a long time. And then in 1985, they were beginning to get some bad publicity. So they changed the name to Colorado City, Arizona, and to Hilldale, Utah. And the state line runs right through the center of town. And so among themselves and in my writings, I refer to them often as Crickers.
Okay.
I go down to the Crick.
To the
yes.
Crick.
Yeah.
That goes back in the early days. Some of the big names would be, for instance, Lauren Woolley, which is interesting because that was Spencer Kimball's middle name, was Woolley.
Mm.
If you ever go out to the Salt Lake Cemetery, you're going to notice when you read a lot of the headstones, you're going to see a lot of these names, these middle names that are all connected. I mean, a lot of the leadership of the LDS Church, they're all connected, either by blood or by marriage. But your work among the FLDS, why don't you talk about that? Because I want our listeners to not only understand that this is still a problem that we have not only in Utah, but in the United States, but I also want them to know, what can we be praying about when it comes to your work among these people and others that are continuing on this kind of work as well? Why don't you give us a little background on what that is?
God led me there to lead the people in polygamy culture, to lead them to Christ. That's the bottom line. I went in there and just started hanging around the restaurant, a couple of restaurants, and just got to know a few people. And then I found out about a guy by the name of Brody Olson and his wife Liz, a young couple. Brody comes out of Wyoming. He was supposed to have gone for a business degree. His father had a large construction company. But Brody was touched by the Lord, and the Lord was calling him into ministry. So Brody went to seminary in West Virginia, and I heard about him. I started calling him in his senior year, and he was familiar with Colorado City Hilldale. And I started talking to him about the possibility of coming out there to plant a church. I knew he wanted to plant a church in a rural community in Utah, some rural community that had no church. And by the way, people can pray for Utah. There are many, many, many communities, smaller communities in Utah that have no Christian churches whatsoever. Anyway, Brody, and long story short is, Brody and his wife, at spring break, their senior year in seminary, came to Utah, did prayer walks through communities, and then Brody had said to his wife, he says, "We better go to Colorado City. If we don't, we're never going to get Mike Manning off our back." And they did. They came to Colorado City. They did a prayer walk. They're heading out of town, and they look at each other, and they said, "This is where God wants us." And so God called them to that community. That community, by the way, at that time, 98% of all the property in Colorado City, Hilldale, and for many miles around, was owned by a trust, which was established by Warren Jeffs. There was no such thing as private ownership. And there was a rule that no one was ever to rent out any part of the house in which they were living to anybody. That was all controlled by the prophet. And so miraculously, Brody and Liz got a downstairs apartment that was in terrible shape of a house, black mold, everything. And they went in and gutted it. They never paid rent, but they worked out their lodging arrangements there by totally gutting that and rebuilding it. About 2-3 years later, miraculously, I would spend more time going into detail, but they bought one of the polygamy houses. And that house today is the house in which they live, but the entire downstairs is a mission guest house. Brody and Liz came in. They started a ministry, and I'm on their board. I'm vice chairman of the board, and our goal is to eventually start a church there. That was our goal. Today, I'll just describe to you, here we are 7.5 years later since Brody and Liz arrived. The ministry owns what we call the community center, which is used for a church. By the way, their church was started in their living room. And their living room, this is a former plig house, and their living room is 1,000 square feet, just the living room.
Wow.
In that house. That's where the church was started. Outgrew that. We went and we bought this log building in the center of town, and it's about 2-3 acres around there. And that now houses the upstairs houses the church. It's a big log building. Downstairs is a thrift store. And here we are 7.5 years later. And last week Sunday, the church was full. And a gentleman walks in with his 2 wives and 10 children. And they had to dismiss some of the children into the children's program early just to make room for them. And so the church is going well. It's growing. We have some building needs. On Tuesday nights, Brody and his assistant, the Evans, moved in from Texas. They are there. And by the way, everybody raises their own support. We all raise our own support. And so on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, the community center opens, which is also the church, to community kids. and kids ages 10 through 18. And they can come there, have fun, they can have food, they can be tutored, and that sort of thing. And if they don't have any money for snacks, they can take a little 15-minute Bible study. They get credit to eat at the snack bar. And last Tuesday, there were between 60 and 70 kids there.
Wow.
Wednesday night is formal Bible study for that youth group, and there's about 10 kids that are now involved in the formal Bible study. They have a couples gathering that teaches on how to make marriages better. And by the way, that is being led by Gareth Evans, who is from Texas, and one of the community guys who has been mentored and who has received Christ. And so they have a couples night. They also have a men's ministry. They have a women's ministry. And that's just the ministry that Brody Olson is the head of. Then there's a second ministry in that town called the Dream Center. And the Dream Center is actually, the group behind it is the Dream Church out of Phoenix, Arizona. And the Dream Center, they purchased the former main home of Warren Jeffs, which has 48 bedrooms, has 51 bathrooms, two commercial kitchens, and huge gathering centers. And they are now going to be, they're licensing to treat people who have been sexually abused, especially the women. They're now going to be licensed for 80 people as soon as they get the sprinkler system totally installed, and there's another 2 weeks to go in the sprinkler system. And so they are ministering to many, many people in that town as well.
Do you see people coming out of this movement and instead of coming towards evangelical Christianity, going into mainstream Mormonism? Where do they often go if they don't become Christians once they leave this group?
I know of only a few that have left the FLDS and have gone into the mainline Mormon church. And these are two leaders who are very power hungry. They have joined what's called the Apple Valley Ward, and the Apple Valley Ward now takes in Colorado City. But most of the people, very few, ever joined the mainline Mormon church. They've had enough of that. They've had too much of that. And they've had too much of the teachings of Joseph Smith. And they've lost their wives. They've lost their children. They've lost everything. It's the church, the fundamentalist church, that took away their property, that took away everything they've owned. And so most of the young people, that's the really sad part. Many of the teenagers that have left have gone the route of sex, alcohol, and drugs. And so now the Dream Center is doing a lot to pick them up, trying to get them back on course.
We've been talking with Mike Menning. He's with Great Commission Utah. And Mike, you had said that if people want to contact you and ask any questions, they can reach you at Mike Menning, M-E-N-N-I-N-G, @gmail.com.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.